Well, good evening and welcome to Local Matters. My guest today is Thomas Lynn, the newly appointed member of the Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees, and we're going to talk about his alma mater. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. I'm glad to be here.
Guess I ought to say welcome back to the show because I think you were on one time to talk about reading is fundamental also.
That's true.
Well, some of our listeners may not be familiar with your background. I know you grew up here in Cookeville, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'd be glad to. I was very honored that they would call and ask me to be a part of that board. A lot of people have been aware that it was a change a few years ago to have more local input, and so it is good to be part of that. Tech's a big part of our community, as everybody knows, and we know that we are very supportive of it. When I think about Cookeville, of course, I think about growing up here back in the 50s and 60s when I was growing up, there's pre-interstate part of the time, and gas stations were full service, and I can remember 19 cents a gallon, and we went to the old Princess Theater downtown and had a little league baseball team that won the state, All-Stars, and then summers we swam, and if we hauled hay, it was the square bales. It wasn't any of the round bales.
Amen. Those round bales are tough to pick up.
That was all different. And then if we brought our sporting goods stuff, it's from Brown and Watson. Watson Brown's family was very athletic-minded, and they had the sporting goods store, and we enjoyed going there. And then we listened and watched to Lowell Smith and Sonny Allen, and then Joe Adams, of course, he invented the face mask. We were all
Had some big part of the NFL right here in Cookeville in those
we
days.
We did. So it was a good place to grow up. And I've talked to Watson on several occasions, and he said, everyone knew each other and supported each other and also knew our parents. So it kind of kept us all straight.
It did.
Typical little town, I'd say.
It did. I grew up in a similar kind of town.
Yeah. With a 4-year college, which was unusual. We were proud of that. So it was a good place to grow up.
And you went to that 4-year college.
I did. Yeah. I had, I tried to decide really what I wanted to do. I think a lot of local folks think they want to go somewhere else to school, but Tech really had everything that I think most anybody would look for, and a beautiful campus. And, you just get involved as much as you want. If you're local, still can be a part of a lot of the things on the campus. So once I started, I was really pleased that I went there. Tech was a good school for me, so I enjoyed it.
And you got a master's degree there. You stuck around and got an MBA.
I did. I had a teacher that had sort of inspired me. Came in about 1976, a guy named Bob Bell. And so I got out of undergraduate in 76, and then I came back and graduated in 79 with the MBA. And I would totally promote the idea of trying to get an advanced degree if you have a chance. It really does help.
I agree. You and I both can name a lot of success stories that that's not the only difference maker, maybe not even the most important difference maker, but it is a difference maker to have that advanced degree.
You gain confidence when you have to defend your answer, whether it's right or wrong, and you defend what your work. You don't just recite something you've read. So it does really help, I think.
I think it does, too. I think it does, too. And you went on and did some scouting work, but most of your career, you've been a banker. But go ahead and promote Boy Scouts.
Oh, I'd be glad to. When I got out in 76, I fumbled through the placement catalog and thought, well, I was a Boy Scout, and here's a job as a district executive. So for $8,400 a year, was my salary. And they did give me a car to use, so I thought that was pretty good town.
And you could wear a cool uniform when you needed to.
That's right, when I needed to. So I was in the Natchez Trace District. That's Williamson-Hickman County, two opposite, polar opposite. And it was a great experience because you really had to schedule, organize, show up, and be up in front of people all the time. And so I was glad to get to do that. But I felt like I wanted to get back towards banking, and an MBA would help me do that.
And you got that MBA, and then the banking career never stopped, and you're now chairman of the board of First National Bank.
Been around banking all my life, I feel like.
I think your dad would be proud of you.
Well, I think he would. He questioned and wondered what I was going to do, and I'm sure, as most dads would. But he was in banking. He started here in Cookeville in 1950 in banking. So banking has been our family life for forever.
It has been. It has been. And it's been good to the family, and the family's been good to Cookeville and to banking. Well, tell us about the Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees. This is, as you say, a fairly new organization.
It is.
Tech used to be part of the Tennessee Board of Regents, and then Governor Haslam sponsored some legislation to create independent boards, local boards, as you said. And so tell us about what it does and what your role is on it.
Well, when you call it a local board, a lot of the people on there are living out of town, out of state.
Oh, yeah, all over the United States.
But they're mostly alums and wonderful, intellectual, very accomplished people. So being a local banker, I don't have the pizzazz, I think, that some of them do. You know, we had Barry Wilmore, the astronaut.
Yeah, commander of the International Space Station.
Like
that's
that.
A little harder to keep up with.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his and most everybody there, of course.
Yeah.
It's just a great group, and they really care about tech. So we meet about four times a year, routinely, I think. Now, I've just started, but then we have committee meetings in between occasionally. But our primary role, I think, is to appoint the president and then support the president.
Yeah.
Our job is not to manage, but just to advise and oversee and try to be available when we're needed. So we learn a lot about the operation of tech, things that, of course, you know an awful lot about. And it's
but that an outsider wouldn't necessarily know and may not ever wish they did know.
Well, I think you're right. It's a big business, pretty complicated.
Yeah, it's a big business, but boards really do play an important role. And having that angle of vision from the outsider that just asked what may be to some people an uninformed question, but it may be the most important question of the day in terms of saying, whoa, you know, we've just been too introspective at the university. So boards play a really, really important role.
I think so.
And you get involved in a lot of different activities, and we want to talk about some of them this afternoon. Obviously, COVID is something unique to this year.
Yes.
But many of the other things, enrollment and graduation rates and finances,
all those things,
they're all there, and Tennessee Tech can stand proud on them. So it's a great, you chose a good Board of Regents to join, or Board of Trustees. Tech is great. So what did they tell you as you came on the board? Were there any do's or do nots?
They said be prepared to read a lot.
And do get a stack of material, don't you?
You do, yes. And you are acquainted with a university that you really see from the outside, as you say, more as a student or someone that maybe is an adjunct. But as you see it unfold, you know, 1,200 or so, I think, employees or something like that out there, 10,000 students, it's a big operation. And it's very, very unique. Now, our committees that I'm familiar with so far, the executive committee obviously is promoted from within us in our group. And then the audit and business committee has a lot to do with financials and facilities and so forth. And it's very, of course, very interesting and very pertinent because of it's always a struggle with budgets these days. And then the academic and student, and that has to do with enrollment, as you spoke of, budgeting and fees, budgeting, and the students themselves. And, you know, as I sat there and listened, I hear occasionally about Tech in respect to other schools in the state of Tennessee, but we really, truly have an outstanding university. When you think about the outcome of a beginning pay, beginning career pay, and mid-career pay being the best in public colleges in Tennessee.
That's a lot to be proud of.
That's very good, yes. And I think a lot of people look at Tech as a STEM type school with the technology and so forth and the engineering. So we have a great university that's also got a great looking campus, and then it provides the subject matter in the curriculum that I think gets people ahead. And so it really is a good university. Even if you're local, you look around, you really can't beat it.
I agree with you. This is Local Matters. We are talking Education Matters today with Thomas Lynn, a member of the Board of Trustees at Tennessee Tech University. And you mentioned audit committee there a second ago, and it's a very large multimillion-dollar budget, $100 million budget kind of framework. And having someone, I know you had to interact with Dr. Clary Stinson.
That's right.
and she's sort of the chief financial officer of the university. And being a banker, you and she talk some of the same language anyway.
She hopes that I do.
Yeah.
I do too.
She will set you straight if you don't.
I think she will. She seems pretty.
But Clary is an outstanding financial officer. And Tech could always wish for better budgets, but in a relative sense, they do very well with what they have.
Well, as you know, when being the president and during the times the state of Tennessee was struggling with its budget, and now today with the COVID, it struggles. It was concerning everyone, but so far it hadn't been as much of a struggle as
it's not as bad as it was during the Bredesen years, Bredesen administration,
cutting you back, and we all had to reassess. But when I went to school at Tech, I think the state was like 70% of the budget,
right?
And the students and various other sundry things were 30%. Now it's just the opposite.
That's right.
So it's more expensive, and student loans are more prevalent. Fortunately, Tech has one of the lowest student loan balances.
Default rates, both.
So when they graduate, their loan balances are lower. So it's important that we support the college. It's not going to just be there because it ought to be. It's going to be there because we want it to be.
Amen. Amen. That's a really good statement. This is Local Matters. We're talking to Thomas Lynn. And Thomas, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back for the second half of the program.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Thomas Lynn, the newly appointed member of the Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees. And Thomas, I want to talk a little bit about the meeting that you've just concluded, the fall Board of Trustees meeting. And we mentioned budgets, and budgets are concerning just because the state has taken such a financial hit from COVID. But let's talk about the other impact of COVID, and that is on people. Students have come back to a university that is quite different than the university that that I led 8 years ago. So what's your perspective on how this has affected both the students and maybe the faculty at the university?
Well, what I've noticed is that a lot of people have maybe taken for granted, you know, Tech's always there, it's always open, and it works the way it always has been. But you sort of step back and realize you may not can open the campus, or you may only take certain subjects online and some in person. And when you don't take it for granted and you start appreciating really what goes on there and the fact that we get to open this campus, And the students get to choose, hopefully in most cases, what they want to take, whether to be there or not, or be online, and Tech is set up to be able to do both, then it may mean a little more to everybody. So there are some struggles, but that can make you stronger, and they can, I think, learn that life is like this. It's not open a book and take a test. You know, you got to really want to be there.
You got to want to do it, and you live it.
Right. Yep. And most of us, you know, I'm speaking at my age now. I know when I was 18, I was just like everybody else. I just thought, okay, I'm going to go and have a good time and enjoy the whole experience and all. But it doesn't take long to realize that if you're going to make a difference in your career, you need to start when you're in college if you can. If you can go to college and do that and enjoy that. Certainly you don't have to, but I think more and more people realize that it does help you. And it's an opportunity to to interact with people that you're not growing up with, people from all over the country and sometimes all over the world. So the COVID is it's kind of a, well, what's it going to be like? What are we going to do? How's it going to work? So it makes you question the whole routine. And that's probably not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. And to be honest, it may be that in this hybrid form of education where they do stuff on Zoom and online and electronically, that may be the way the world works after COVID. It may be that we found out you don't have to fly to Los Angeles to make a presentation. Exactly. You can do it on Zoom, and you're going to save your company a lot of money doing it. So I'm not sure this isn't reality therapy training mm-hmm. for them in terms of many of the companies that they're going to work with. And certainly you mentioned Butch Wilmore, Captain Wilmore, not Admiral, but Navy Captain Barry Wilmore, who just retired, still in the astronaut corps, but he would say, well, we never had a face-to-face meeting while I was in space. We did it all electronically.
Yeah.
So
you learned to adjust.
I think you learned to adjust. Faculty have had to do that too. They did not take a class in how to teach mm-hmm. on Zoom or how to teach electronically. And just like our Putnam County school system, every teacher has had to make some big adjustments over this period of time.
And I think it's gone fairly well, really, from what I understand. I think most everybody.
I think so too. Well, you also had a number of other agenda items during the board meeting. You approved a new state-of-the-art engineering building.
Oh, I know. That's a beautiful building. You know, the rendering was so nice, and it should be, obviously. It is going to be a state-of-the-art. It's going to have a lab. It's going to have, you know, an atrium with where you can be comfortable and be able to look out a large glass front. And it's unique. And I think it's going to be a great recruiting tool. You know, it adds to the campus. We've got a new science building.
Absolutely.
And a new fit called the Burn, I think. And then the engineering building will be probably the next really big project.
Yeah, if you look at capital projects, this budget year has, or this budget process, the last 6 or 7 years, I told President Oldham one time that I was jealous of him because he had capital projects, and he really has had a good run with building the fitness center, the Mark Burnett Fitness Center, right. That's called the Burn in Mark's honor, and then the science building is going to come online next. And then right after it is this great new engineering building. And as Dr. Oldham said, these are not things that happen instantaneously. They've been on the planning boards for years and years, but it is going to be a beautiful new recruiting tool, a new asset at Tennessee Tech. And for the flagship program out there, the engineering school is sort of known as the flagship, and for that program, it's not always the biggest of the programs at Tech, but it's the one that people talk about the most. And certainly, this is going to be a great new building for them.
It is. I think everybody's looking forward to it. And I know it sort of got delayed probably because of the concern that the COVID brought on. But if the state continues to make the progress it is, then maybe we can get started on it next year.
And it's not unusual to have a building delay. I mean, you know, we submitted plans for that engineering building. And it may be that Dr. Volpe did before we did, but it's been around a long time. But President Oldham and his team have done a great job of producing a beautiful new building there. It is really going to be nice. Well, you also had a chance to look at enrollment and at student outcomes, and we've had pretty good news there. Enrollment is at a record.
They have. We have 45 more than last year.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of the number.
It's a step up.
The undergraduate program is a little bit behind, but the graduate program picked up the slack and has more than we were expecting. So overall, over 10,000, it makes it for a nice size school. And it's certainly nice to go forward and not backwards. Not all schools increased enrollment.
And that's absolutely right.
So we're fortunate to have what we have. And of course, what we're really trying to measure, and I didn't really think about this until I got on the board, is how many what percentage of the kids that went to school 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago that graduate. And they have goals set percentage-wise to try to get those to graduate. And the reason they'd like for them to graduate in 4 years, if they can, it's better for the student. It costs less to go to school.
Right.
And then they start earning sooner.
Costs less for mom and dad, too, usually.
Costs less for everybody. And so, you know, if everybody went 6 years, obviously the school would have a bigger population, and you know, that could be somewhat of a benefit to the school. But to the student, which is what impresses me, Dr. Oldham and all the groups really think about the student. And the student can get in and get the degree and get out. They're just way ahead financially and
they are
in their career. So Tech has great outcomes, and they're shooting for 40%, I think, or actually I think they may be shooting for 50% the four-year.
Yeah.
And
I
so they're over 40 now. They just went up quite a bit from prior year.
And one of the challenges that you don't think about often in this is, as you say, our Tech students carry a really low debt load. They mm-hmm. pay their way as they go through. So most of them work.
Most of them
and
have part-time jobs.
It's right. hard to work and get out in 4 years.
Oh, yes, it is.
And then some of them, especially in engineering, take intern programs.
Right.
And you put that all together, and it's tough to get out of Tennessee Tech in 4 years.
It is.
But it's a tribute to those that do, and economically it's a big, big financial impact on them if they can do that.
That takes up a lot of the meeting when you talk about the students and talk about what will benefit them. That's what we need to be about.
That's what the focus of the meeting ought to be about.
A lot about the students.
Yeah, I agree. And talking about them getting out and their graduation rates, mm-hmm. they get out with a great placement rate relative to other universities.
They
have the lowest student debt some years in the South, but almost always in the state of Tennessee.
Yes.
They really come out financially strong, prepared with a great education, and with a good job market.
Yes.
And it's not just engineering. The nurses probably have the best job market.
I think they get a job anywhere they want to go.
I think that's right.
Nurse,
and the College of Education, I believe this year, is the largest of the colleges on the campus.
It could be.
It seems like I was talking to the dean last month about that, and I think their enrollment is the largest of any. But and they get good jobs, and they stay locally and
they
teach
do.
Our students.
And, you know, when you think about it, most of the Upper Cumberland degree teachers, I guess most of all of them have degrees, they are probably from Tech.
They are, yeah.
So it's a kind of a cycle. If we can turn out good students and get good jobs and create good businesses, then it helps support Tech and so forth. So it's Tech is really important to this area, and I think it's probably been pointed out in the past to me, is about 40% of the students come from the Upper Cumberland.
They do. Yeah, Tech's got a, in their mission statement, a special place for the Upper Cumberland. It's obviously, it's a statewide university, and but there is a clear commitment to serve the Upper Cumberland in that.
Yes.
And I think you ought to mention, or I'll mention for you even this year, U.S. News and World Report named Tennessee Tech as an A-plus university in the national rankings, and Money Magazine named them the top public university in Tennessee.
That's awesome.
Those are both pretty strong endorsements from independent sources. So,
and I think a lot of prospective students and families look at those ratings. So
I do
too. Good to have Tech at the top, or certainly in the discussion.
Yeah, in the top tier.
Yes.
In all things. And part of that is just a tribute to the students. We attract really talented students. They work with a really good faculty, and they've got really great alumni out there supporting them, and that all gets to be a system that helps itself. Well, you're an old football player. I can't let you leave without talking about football and OVC sports, at least for a minute.
Oh, I miss it.
It's been a tough fall, hasn't it?
Yes, it really has. I've asked the coach and a few of the players about it. That was a tough decision not to play. I think some of the OVC schools went ahead and played a few what we call money games.
They did.
And that may have worked well. I don't know. Tech decided not to, decided to just prepare and get ready to try to go for a championship. So about the last week or so in February, I believe they begin their spring games. And they'll play all the OVC schools. So it'll be exciting to watch them then.
It'll be sort of unique to watch them in the spring, and yes. and yet it'll be fun too. And so we'll just end this program by wishing the Golden Eagles the best in all of their sports, not yes. just football. I'm wearing a volleyball shirt today. And so whatever sport, we wish them all the very best. And Thomas, we thank you for serving on the Board of Trustees, and thanks for being here with us today.